In The Jacobean Box by Don Taylor, Shakespearean academic Brian Blake receives a message to say there's a large item awaiting his collection at a remote northern station. He little suspects that it could lead to his own literary immortality.
The Jacobean Box by Don Taylor, with Stephen Moore as Brian and Peter Vaughan as the station master. The Jacobean Box.
The first folio of the complete works of William Shakespeare, the facsimile edition. And there he is, on the frontispiece, with his crafty Midland grin, as if to say, I know something you don't know, and I'm going to keep it that way. If you ever believe he looked like that, which I don't, not for a minute. I mean, it's a mask, isn't it? Well, that's for sure. You can even see the join round the chin. Perhaps you were a government secret agent like Marlowe, so that it was absolutely necessary for you to adopt this ludicrous posthumous disguise when you went into print. Or maybe you were hideously deformed, like the Phantom of the Opera. There's a trick Andrew Lloyd Webber missed. Cue for song. Don't cry for me, I'm William Shakespeare. Bring the house down for sure.
Are you talking to yourself again?
No, I'm talking to Shakespeare.
Which amounts to the same thing. Have you seen the Oxford Book of Quotations?
I'm expressing my fundamental disbelief in him.
You don't have to. He's not God.
Doesn't need to be. Why be second best?
You should stop it, you know.
What?
Talking to yourself. Or doing it aloud. Cultivate a personal stream of consciousness by all means. But resist the temptation to vocalise, or one day you'll get picked up.
For talking to dead poets in the street?
Something of the sort. Ah, there it is. Excuse me a moment.
You Elizabethan git. You great mountain of poetical turds, steaming down the centuries. You torturer of generations of schoolboys. You randy Renaissance roustabout, a typical miserly Midlander, stashing the cash back in Stratford as soon as you could lay hands on it, and then retiring from the low and vulgar theatre and pretending to be a gentleman as though you'd made a pile in supermarkets or the pools. You set book, you syllabus, you industry.
Finished. What's up? When you start on Shakespeare, I know there's trouble coming.
I hate his sublime guts. Can you hear me up there in Stratford Churchyard? I hate your rotten, decayed guts.
Among his many other virtues, my dear, he is your paycheck. And all this weary rhodomontade is just another excuse to avoid the work you are supposed to be doing on him.
Just imagine how many books are being written about him at this very moment. All those bleeping word processors and scrawling pens, and how many people are reading him, discussing him, arguing about him, acting him, or just sitting in appalled disbelief at the whole process. It's horrifying.
Well, what would you rather be doing? It's a great deal better than work.
I'd rather be sitting with an all-purpose smile on my face, saying sweetly barbed things into a TV camera and getting paid for it.
That's only part-time.
Did you find your quotation?
Yes, Chaucer. Thus hath she tack her servant and her lord, servant in love and lord in marriage. The Franklin's Tale.
Oh, yeah, well, that'll slay them on the art show, that will.
Do you like the dress? I'm not sure of it.
Well, it looks like something you just pinched from the walls of the Guggenheim and stepped into.
I think I'll change.
The thinking man's Sarah Dennett. That's what you are. I am married to a woman who not only listens to Third Ear, turning to Radio 3 at a time and all decent people are listening to The Archers, but who actually appears on it. What's it like being a leech sucking at the anemic body of the arts, eh?
You tell me.
No. I may be a literary critic of a kind, but I've never actually written a book or polluted the nation's airwaves with my opinions. I confess myself to boring generations of students, but mine is a comparatively venal sin. Yours is mortal.
Acidy, my darling. That's your trouble. Moral sloth.
If Dante were writing today, there'd be an extra circle in hell very near the bottom, and it'd be full of kaleidoscope presenters, Music Weekly contributors, television critics, arts program directors, and other such unemployable layabouts, together with talk show hosts, and a whole range of journalistic bloodsuckers who get their daily sustenance by hooking into other people's arteries. And they'd have nothing to talk about but themselves. Think of that as a refinement of torture, because all the artists, all the people who actually do things, and all the critics, like myself, who prefer a dignified silence, would all be in another, happier place.
The BBC Club?
What is it this time?
The Death of Marriage in the Modern Novel.
A visiting American?
Correct.
Female?
Right again.
So someone else will do all the talking and you'll pick up the check.
Very probably.
Isn't it dreadful?
The subject or the show? Or both?
I married a nice, dull English lecturer with an attractive face and a taste for Andrew Marvel. It seemed a perfectly safe thing to do. I thought we could quietly moulder together like old port in a university cellar. And now, look at you. What happened?
I blossomed, darling. I flowered. Bye-bye. See you later.
Oh, why are you going so early?
I'm doing the introductory bit, and they want to discuss it. And what are you doing today?
Nothing. What do I ever do? I shall read through my notes on Shakespeare and the anti-romantic comedy and decide not to bring them up to date.
Ta-ta, then.
Mm-hmm. Well, I shall contemplate this crafty and expressionless face and try to imagine what sort of conceivable human being could possibly have produced this mouldering heap of indispensable verses and then just disappear through the wings of history, leaving barely a footprint. Crafty bugger! You fixed it somehow, didn't you? Crept away with the loot and a slimy Birmingham grin covering your tracks so well that what we really know about you would barely fill half a page in an exercise book.
There's a letter for you down here.
For me? A letter? What excitement! Oh, it must be a mistake. Who's it from?
British Rail.
British Rail? Well, that figures, I suppose. Some people get letters from the Nobel Prize Committee, or Peter Hall, or even from friends. I get letters from British Rail. Anyway, what is it? I haven't written to them.
I really can't wait to see. Wish me luck.
You don't need luck. A lack of moral sensibility allied to a low media cunning will see you through. Just keep smiling at the camera till they give you the check.
I remember that. Curio.
British Rail. Gradley.
I beg your pardon?
I said Gradley.
Well, I suppose it makes a change from hello or just repeating the number.
What?
Never mind. I want to speak to the station master, please.
It's the name.
What is?
Gradley. It's the name of the station.
Ah, yes, I see. It is rather odd. There's no name on the letter, just a phone number.
Oh, no, there isn't. There were no need.
No need?
It's your money I'm earning, you know.
Well, yes, that's true.
No point in chucking it about. Not till it's privatised.
No. Where is Gradley, by the way?
Yorkshire.
Yes, I had assumed that. Where exactly in Yorkshire?
Depends where you're coming from.
No, I mean, how do you get there?
By train.
Yes. Never mind. My name's Blake.
So?
You wrote me a letter, an official British Rail letter.
Aye, I might have done.
Well, I'm pretty sure you did, actually. At least I am holding a letter containing your phone number and signed by the station master.
That's me.
About a box you have for me?
Aye, the box, that's right.
Well, what box is it, exactly?
Oh, it's here, at the station.
In Yorkshire, yes. Is it addressed to me?
It is. Delivered here and marked to be collected with your name and address. It's been here for a week, and you haven't come.
Well, it is rather mysterious. I'm not expecting a box, and certainly not one delivered in Yorkshire. I live in London. What sort of box is it?
Oh, it's big. Looks old.
Well, could you send it to me?
Aye, I could, if you like.
You sound doubtful.
How rich are you?
Oh, I see. It's very heavy, isn't it?
It'll cost you.
You've no idea what's in it, I suppose.
No, it's locked with a bloody great padlock. Have you ever been in a fire?
No, should I have been?
It's got burn marks on the outside. You'd best come and get it. If you leave it here much longer, it might fall through the floor. And I'd be cross about that.
Did you see it?
I couldn't. I haven't got the right clothes. I mean, you can't watch the art show just wearing a pullover and grey trousers, can you? Feel terribly out of place. Did you manage to get in the quotation?
Of course I did. I carefully engineered the whole conversation till it was the only possible conclusion.
How sickening. And did they all laugh and applaud?
No. There were wise nods, though, and sighs of appreciation. I didn't go in for anything as vulgar as applause.
Do you enjoy it? I mean, does it satisfy you, sitting up there being a sort of female Germaine Greer?
Yes, I suppose it does. So I feel vaguely embarrassed admitting it, but it does give me a kind of thrill. I have a horrible feeling it's what I'm best at.
People are always telling me how difficult it must be for me, and aren't I jealous? Which I am, of course, grindingly.
It's nothing to be jealous of.
I've always had a deep hunger for fame, a craving to be interviewed and quoted and referred to as the clincher in other people's arguments.
Look, I know I'm good at it, but I'm not empty-headed enough to believe it's anything more than a knack. When people become well-known in the public media, it's as much a comment on the media as on them. I'm only small beer anyway, very upmarket. Caviar to the general, which means I don't really count.
When I was 20... I was going to write the ultimate book on Shakespearean comedy. Till I found out that it had already been written, and it gets written again pretty well once a year. People in our game don't write books because they want to say something. They write them to get chairs. I wired to that mountain of waste paper. Ignominious silence is better.
And how did you get on today?
I made a phone call.
Hardly a day's work.
This one was. You busy tomorrow?
Lecture in the morning. 2 classes in the afternoon. Why?
I shall be out all day. And starting early.
Why? What are you doing?
I'm driving to Yorkshire. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Waiting for a train?
No. There's no trains this afternoon.
I'm surprised there are trains at any time out here.
Why? It's a station.
What I mean is, I thought all these little branch lines had been finished off years ago.
Aye. They tried.
But obviously they didn't. Well,
there's been trains here since 1853, the nose.
I didn't, actually. But I believe you. My name's Blake. We spoke on the phone. I've come about the box.
Oh, aye, we did. The box is in freight shed. Come with me. Here it is.
Good heavens, it's huge.
Aye, it's damned heavy and all. It took 4 hours to lift it off the train. Me and guard, Charlie Page, you were passing, and Gigglesworth from top end.
And iron bound, you don't see that very often these days.
It's bloody solid and all.
I never imagined it would be so big.
Well, that's your name, isn't it, and your address?
Yes, that's me, all right. Where did it come from?
Well, you ought to know, if anyone does.
No, you ought to know, surely. I mean, the whole thing's a complete mystery to me.
I ought to know, that's true, but I don't. There ought to be a consignment note on side, but it's been torn off some road.
Looks very old. The wood feels old, too.
Of course, British Rail will have a full and complete record of who sent it.
Where?
At the station it was sent from.
And where's that?
Ah, well, there you have me. There's no consignment note, you see. Some road it's been ripped. It came on the 455 from Doncaster, I can tell you that, but then you see, Doncaster...
It's a great rail junction, if I'm not mistaken.
Very big.
Could have come from anywhere.
Aye.
So, all we have to do to find out who sent it is to look through the freight records of every station in the country.
That's about size of it. Hardly seems worth it, I'd say.
So would I.
Bring your car right up to back of these doors and I'll give you a hand with it.
I can't get that in my car. What do you think I drive, a juggernaut?
You can't get it in.
Of course I can't. Look at
you. You got a problem then, haven't you? It can't stay here.
Now, this is getting ridiculous. I've already wasted a day driving up here. I'm certainly not prepared to pay for it to come to London.
I was working out how much it might cost you just to amuse myself, like.
I don't even know what's in it.
You don't know?
No, of course I don't. I told you the whole thing is a complete mystery. It isn't my box. I don't know anybody whose box it is or why they should send it to me. I begin to suspect some kind of practical joke. I'm a university teacher, you know.
A damned expensive joke.
Well, that's true.
Well, whatever happens, you can't just leave it here. This is the property of British Rail. It belongs to the nation, does this?
Not for much longer, it doesn't.
They'll never privatise this.
Won't they?
No, they bloody won't. I'll buy it myself first.
Well, for the people, as it were.
Somewhat of the sort.
Well, be that as it may, I am certainly not paying for it to be sent to London, not without knowing what's in it.
Well, then you'd better find out.
Well, yes, I suppose so. It's locked. Do you have the key?
Oh, no key.
No key. Well, no, of course there's no key. What do you expect? Is there a locksmith in town?
You mean in Gradley?
Yes.
No.
No key, no locksmith. Well, do you have any Semtex or a small guided missile, maybe?
There's Arkroyd.
Arkroyd?
He does everything.
Then send for him, for God's sake.
I'll give him a ring.
Brian Blake, Esquire. And that's my address. Well, it can't be two of us in the same house. I'd have met him. There's something in it. It's not hollow.
This is Arkroyd. He's a mobile shop.
Hello, Arkroyd.
Hello.
He does everything.
Really?
I can get valves, I can, for radios, the old glass ones. And I do cricket bat handles, bind them, the nose, and rubber them.
Well, that's useful to know.
If I want thermogene wadding, a dubbing, or winter green, I'm your man.
Well, at the moment...
Or Dr. Collis Brown's chlorodine. I've got that. Original stuff with morphine in it. We conquered India with that.
I didn't know.
It's banned now. But I got some.
How are you with Locke?
Magic with Locke.
Is that... Do you remember when Alice hadn't locked her old man in shed?
Aye.
He threw the key in river. He were there 8 hours yelling blue murder. But Arkroyd got him out in the end, didn't you, Arkroyd?
Aye.
How do you fancy this one?
It's a big one, that is.
Aye.
Rusty.
Well, if the worst comes to the worst, you can always use a hacksaw.
Yeah, I don't use an hacksaw. All it needs is a bit of skill. Some oil. And a few keys.
Yes, quite a few.
Hundreds more, like.
Aye. I mean, yes.
It's not all brute force and ignorance, you know, isn't Arkroyd? He's got it in his fingers, a delicate touch. If he'd been born better class, he'd have been a master cracksman. But when you're born where the likes of Arkroyd was born, you have to be honest.
Why is that?
Because if you're not, they bloody murder you, that's why.
Oh, how much should I pay him, do you think?
Oh, you must see him, right?
Oh, I must do that, of course, but how much do you think?
I'll not say that.
No?
But I can see you're a fair man.
Well, I hope so. £10, do you think?
Twenty? That's cheap at the price for a man like Arkroyd. The labourer is worthy of his hire. That's the Bible.
Yes, I know.
Oh, there you are. Then you see, he's done it already.
Oh, I say, that's splendid. Very quick.
Standard padlock, only about 10 years old. Just a question to find it right key.
Oh, well then, all I've got to do now is open it. It's quite exciting, really, isn't it? I haven't the faintest idea what I'm going to find in there.
Let's hope you don't get an unpleasant surprise, then.
What do you mean? Why should I?
Oh, you find all sorts of things in boxes, Van Hose. Torsos and the like. very nasty.
Oh.
Well, you just open it, you'll soon know. And if you don't want it, you may chuck it out for rubbish. Or Arkroyd might take it off your hands for you. Mm-hmm. You make it worth his while. Talking of which...
Arkroyd. I wondered, would... £20, to be fair.
I don't know if it'd be fair or not, but I'll take it.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
I think Arkroyd would prefer two tenors, wouldn't you, Arkroyd? He's usually paid in tenors.
I've got change, then, old.
Well, I have got two tenors, as it happens.
Now, how about a cup of tea, Arkroyd? I'm just brewing up. We'll leave you to yourself for a bit, Mr. Blake, and I'll be glad if you decide what you want doing with that box.
Well, I don't know, it's just some kind of oil cloth, some sort of waterproof material. Oh, wait a minute, there's some books underneath.
Oh, not torsos, then?
Apparently not, so far.
You'll be all right, then, there's no harm in books.
No, not so much.
Come on, Arkroyd, tea's mashing.
I have got change, I know.
You have now.
Come on.
And there's some papers, too, by the look of it. Good heavens. Some of these books seem to be handwritten. Very difficult to read. What's this? A loose sheet of paper with six lines of verse on it. Difficult to read, but legible. Just. Two chests there were, though only one was saved. Honour to him whose heart the furnace braved. Value these contents, both for worth and wit, but mostly for the hand of him who writ. Valour is here, and wealth, and breath, and cost. What once is found shall nevermore be lost. Warwick, 1694. 1694? That's early. Now, just what else have we got here? Several layers of leather books, mostly quite small and all handwritten, seemingly. And underneath, a mass of loose papers. Oh, wait a minute, some roughly bound together. Lots of comments and sort of diagrams added by several other hands. Falling to pieces, nearly. All this stuff is manuscript, by the look of it, and very old. Except for the verse. The verse is later. The whole style of handwriting changed. The rest of it is much more difficult to read. Must be quite a bit earlier. Well, let's have a closer look. This one. Poems, by the look of it. Oh, yes, one on each page. Quite regular in form. Well, they're sonnets. They're all sonnets. Difficult to read. Thy glass will show thee how thy beauties wear. Thy dial, how thy precious minutes waste. The vacant leaves thy mind's imprint will bear. Wait a minute. I know this. It's a sonnet. It's a Shakespeare sonnet. Why is my verse so barren of new pride? So are you to my thoughts as food to life. No longer mourn for me when I'm dead. Good God. It is. It's a handwritten copy of the Shakespeare sonnets. Cracky. Yes? Yes? Oh, yes. They're all here. There's nothing at the beginning, though. No dedication to Mr. W.H. Just number one on the first page. What about the last page? Now, what's this? For my dear friend, this book... copied in the hand that writ W.S. 1603. Oh, my God. W.S. 1603. I am going crazy. Something somewhere in my head has just exploded. Get up. Get up. Walk about a bit. Fresh air. Few deep breaths. Oxygen deprivation. Yes, could be that. Nine nines are 81, 712s are 84. Around the ragged rocks, the ragged rascal ran. All systems functioning properly. Let's have another look.
WS 1603, it's still there. Wait a minute, It doesn't have to be him. It could be a coincidence. Winterbourne Somerset, for instance, or Wally Smith. No. Now I am going crazy. It says it there in black and white, copied in the hand. That's quite unequivocal. That's it. It's him. All right, calm down. Let's look at another one. Prose this time, very tightly written prose. He didn't write any except in plays. So what is it then? It's some sort of day book. Yes, dates at the top of the pages, I think. Well, I can't work out what. This day did I begin the writing of my play of Hamlet's Revenge. Oh, now. This is silly. Come on. I mean, come on now. My friend Burbage brooks no further delay, and of a truth there are ideas about my brain which sing with the subject like the planets in their spheres. There is much, I might say, in the story of this prince of these our present times and troubles, but mum, it is not meet. I speak it too plainly, even to these my private tables. There is villainy abroad in the world, and no man is safe. No, not the most humblest of poets. Calumny has hydras, heads, and many tongues, and there are those who dearly love such speeches from such filthy mouths. That which I say, I say, but so inweaved in the warp and woof of my drama, that no man may perceive which is my voice and which my character. This is William Shakespeare's diary. I am holding in my hand William Shakespeare's diary. Well, all right. Calm down now. Academic responsibility. A measured gravity, quietly and in a scholarly fashion. Let's see what we've got. Well, the ragged volumes appear to be prompt books, as far as I can see. Stage moves, cuts in performance, special effects, yes. The original productions in detail, which will leave one or two brilliant directors with their pants down, I dare say. Now, this big bundle seems to be letters. Yeah, all letters, all signed Shakespeare, Shagspur, Shogspear. He was clearly a dyslexic. A lot of talented people are. Yeah! Shakespeare's collected letters. And the collected letters of William Shakespeare. Now, who are they all written to? There's a question. Mrs. Dark as Hell and Black as Night, Amelia Lanier, or whoever she was, or Mrs. W.S. back in Stratford, or someone else. Business, most likely, they say, was a moneylender, and a sharp one, too. This is the first draft of something or other, full of scrubbings out and rewrites, so write up you, Ben Johnson, from a long way off. Plenty of lines blotted on this page. Hardly one way got it right first time. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, there's one or two questions answered here, and one or two critical reputations shot down in flames, I'll bet. I can hardly wait. Now, what's this? 16 years old is age enough to die. Children and babes, under the barbarous hand of mercenary war, yield up their souls and find a playground in eternity by thousands every day. Shall I then weep? I don't know that. What is it? The tragical history of Lady Jane Grey, Queen of England. He didn't write a play about Lady Jane Grey. Or maybe he did. Maybe he did.
Is that laughing? I thought I heard sound of laughing.
There'd be no one laughing here.
Wild, maniacal laughing.
There's only one maniac in Gradley, Arkroyd, and that's you.
Oh, no.
What do you make of this fella, then?
Talks to his son.
Aye, he does. But then you see...
He's from south.
He is. From London.
Aye, I can tell.
I've been in London, you know, more than once. And they're all a bit mad down there. That's how it struck me. You know what I mean? A bit touched, like.
Aye, touched. A bit up barmy side, as they might say.
Yorkshire folk, you say.
Aye.
They have their feet on ground, like. There's no what you might call rubbish about them, is there?
Aye, nout airy-fairy.
Right, airy-fairy's the word. Both the words. You know what I mean?
Aye, I do, I do.
Whereas down there, you see... It's all tube trains and public theatres and one-day cricket.
My old dad used to say to me, just to know what he used to say.
I never met your old dad.
If God created Garden of Eden, you notice that, if?
Aye.
You were a great thinker, my old dad. If God created Garden of Eden, he used to say, it was somewhere in Leeds or Wakefield Bradford Triangle.
Triangle.
Aye.
All right now, calm down, calm down. First question, it's a forgery, obviously. It's either a forgery or the biggest literary discovery in the whole history of the world. If it's a forgery, it's a damn good one. The books and papers look right to me, and they feel right, too. And why should anyone take this much trouble? If I were going to forge Shakespeare's manuscript, and that's what we've got here, my boy, no less, I wouldn't do a trunkful, would I? I'd do one or two teasers, and I'd forge the stuff we all know. I mean, who can recreate original Shakespeare? But still, now, forgery isn't a problem because these days it can be easily tested. Carbon dating or whatever it's called. And then there's this poem. Honour to him whose heart the furnace braved. That means someone rescued it from a fire. And here are burn marks on the outside of the box. So that's more evidence. It was circumstantial and self-confirming, but good evidence all the same. Why Warwick 1694? I don't know. Not the slightest idea. By the reading of the poem, that's when and where the box was rescued. Otherwise, it's all a blank. Now, there are other questions to consider. Why did it come to me? And who sent it? And why here? No idea, not the slightest. It's pointless to speculate. It's here, it's got my name on it. There's no way we can find out where it came from. The name on that consignment bill before it was ripped need not have been his or her real name. If they'd wanted me to know, they could easily have made sure that I did, which suggests that they didn't want me to know and went to some pains to cover their tracks. Why? Unanswerable question. Waste of time. Right then. Put everything back very carefully. And then, what's the next stage? Authentication of the manuscripts. Fine. But what about the box? Take it home. How? Safety must be the first consideration. But there are others. How do we get it home? Arkroyd. Hire a van. Anyway, it should be safe enough here, out of the way place like this. And then there's Penny. Oh no, she's not going to get her hands on this little lot. She can have the art show and third opinion and all that tenth-rate chatterboxing. She's welcome. But this is mine! By God, it is too! If this is genuine, and that's stage one, which qualifies all the rest, this is fame! Unlike anything else in the whole history of written literature. Brian Blake, the man who discovered and edited Shakespeare's manuscripts, because I won't let this out all at once. Oh, no, not on your life. Property of humanity, of course, but I shall make sure humanity only gets its grubby hands on this little lot when I'm good and ready. One thing at a time. A few letters first, maybe, nothing too dramatic, to whet the appetite, then hit them with the sonnets. Just like that. Pow! When he wrote them, who to, biographical background, the lot. It'll all be in this box, you can bet. Then, play by play. It'll take me the rest of my life, at least. And not only fame, either fortune. Are you kidding? Fortune? Just how many millions of dollars would American universities pay for just one of these manuscripts? Even allowing for disputed ownership, treasure trove and the like, the editing and publication rights will be worth millions. The Brian Blake edition, the only one worth buying in every school, library and theatre in the world. Oh! Okay, Brian Blake, calm down now. This needs a very cool head. The safest thing is to tell no one, not even Penn. Leave the box here till it's authenticated. Quite safe. Whoever comes to Gradley. Meanwhile, take away a piece of manuscript for tests. But hang on. It mustn't be identifiable or the whole story is blown. Not a complete MS, then. A small piece, a corner, with nothing on it except the watermark, and maybe some kind of unidentifiable pen stroke so that the ink can be tested, too. How about a Shakespearean full stop, eh? Well, why not? It has a kind of wit he might have appreciated. Now then, let's see. Ah, this looks suitable. Nice big watermark, a solid full stop and a dash near the middle of the page. By God, this is vandalism, tearing a priceless manuscript. If it is priceless, if it's a forgery, it won't matter. Well, it is. A scrap of paper with a brownish dot and a dash. That's probably the most valuable full stop in the entire history of the world. Now, all the rest, carefully back. I'm curious to know what's between some of those covers. But there'll be plenty of time for all that. Close it, then. Put back the padlock. And now, to go and square the station master.
In here. Famous for hospitality we are in these parts, noted for it.
Thank you very much.
Arkroyd's still here.
Aye.
And tea's all gone.
Oh, never mind, I'm not at all thirsty.
What about this box then?
Oh, well, first of all, it is mine. I mean, for me, I can't imagine how it slipped my memory. It's a collection of books and papers from a very distinguished colleague of mine, now unfortunately dead. I'd quite forgotten that he wanted me to handle his papers.
Funny place to send them.
Well, no, not at all. I remember quite clearly when we were talking about it, before he died. I'll send them to Gradley, he said. You can always pick them up there, so they are quite definitely meant for me, and I'm quite happy to assume the responsibility for them, including any charges that may accrue.
All right, glad to hear that.
Now, Arkroyd?
Would you like to look around my mobile shop before the girls? It stood outside.
Oh.
I've got real sausage skins on those from genuine sheep's guts. It's from their intestines, you see. The linings, like, they rip it out of them. You can't beat them all made, canster.
No, I'm sure not. But what I'd really like is the key. The key that opened my box. Do you think I could possibly buy it from you?
Oh, well.
Well, I'm quite willing to pay whatever it's worth.
Nay, it's not so much the money, you see. It's more a question of actually selling.
Shall we say 10, 15 pounds?
Hang on while I take a offering. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now, Station Master, I'd like to discuss with you the matter of storage.
Storage?
That's right.
Here in Gradley?
Yes.
Come outside.
Roy, you stay where you are.
What's the matter?
You're not taking it, then?
Well, I can't very well take it today, can I? I've got nothing to take it in. And I don't want to send it by rail. I want to come up here again myself next week in a hired van and drive it down to London.
Well, as to leaving it here, I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all.
Look, I'm sure there are probably British Rail rates for storage, but what I want is for it to stay exactly where it is without anybody going near it or touching it at all and under your personal supervision. I mean, this is a man-to-man thing, nothing to do with British Rail, you understand? I'll pay you to look after it for me.
How much?
20?
Well, you know this is more than my job's worth, don't you? I mean, you do know that.
30?
You see, I could be sacked, and these days we're a man of my age.
40, oh, then, for the week.
Fair enough, that is provided...
And if it's any longer, I'll mail you some more.
And then you see there's Arkroyd.
What about him?
Well, he knows all about it, doesn't he? And he's a crafty bugger, his Arkroyd, with a tongue like a football rattle. And he does travel about, you see, jabbering and jabbering. You'll have to pay him off.
Will 20 be enough?
Oh, aye, that'll about suit. You can give it to me. When I say somebody knows it's said, whereas we, you, being from South and all, you know, he might think he was a bit soft-like.
Well, we don't all feed on milk and water south of the Trent, you know. They eat iron filings in Shepherd's Bush and Millwall. That was, in fact, a joke. Look, there's one other thing. Could you possibly keep that freight store locked? I mean, are you likely to get much freight in?
Not likely, no.
Perhaps you could keep the door locked till I get back then, if you possibly can.
Well, that does depend.
Or perhaps another fiver? Look, I've no more money than that left, unless you'll take a cheque.
No, thank you, Miss Blake. £5 is very generous, and you can't beat naked cash, can you? You can count on me to keep my eyes skinned.
And your door's locked?
Aye, why not? I'll just pop in and get key.
And I'll go and lock up the box.
Brian, this is a good bottle of wine. We've been drinking diluted banana skin juice for so long, I've almost forgotten what the real thing tastes like.
Darling, you deserve it. So do I.
You are sitting there, beloved, smiling, like the cat has just had the baby birds and the goldfish in the cream for afters. What is going on?
Well?
And what is this mystery you're being so elusive about? You have been to Yorkshire, I suppose.
I have.
Where?
Gradley.
Never heard of it. And it was something to do with that letter from British Rail. They had a box for you to collect or something. Why they couldn't send it, I don't know.
It was too big.
Oh, so there actually is a box.
There is.
So where have you been all day? You said you were driving down this morning and it's now 8 o'clock.
I got down about 2, had some lunch, phoned the British Museum and arranged to have a drink with Mary Moskowski.
Mary Moskowski? She used to be a student of yours, didn't she? She of the amazing glasses.
The same. She works there now.
I was always convinced she was one of the seven dwarfs. Mm-hmm. I expected her to come to seminars with a shovel over her shoulder and singing Hey Ho.
Mary is a very nice girl, full of integrity and becoming something of an expert in her field. I'm having lunch with her, in fact, next Wednesday.
Having lunch? You're surely not going to have an affair with Mary Moskowski. Anyway, you can't. Walt Disney's got the copyright.
No, I'm not having an affair. It's very much more exciting than that. Well, how have you got on?
There's your envelope.
And?
Brian, first of all, I have to ask you, where did you get this fragment?
That, Mary, must remain a secret for a while.
Well, it's been torn, you know. Some fool has torn it from a larger sheet. I mean, what kind of idiot would do a thing like that?
Monsieur Madame, what would you like to eat?
Oh, some kind of food. It doesn't matter to me.
The chef's special, twice. And another bottle of this white burgundy.
Monsieur, what about the tests?
Well, basically, there are three ways you can test for a forged MS. The paper, the watermark, and the ink. First of all, the paper. Well, it's genuine handmade rag paper, all right. Secondly, the ink. A spectrograph will tell you what the ink's made of. Different constituents have been used in different periods and places, but the changes have tended to occur only after fairly long periods of time, so you can't be very accurate with ink alone, just a not before and not after date. In this case, the information from the spectrograph confirmed what the paper said, namely that it certainly isn't modern, and it certainly is at least 150 years old, but the clincher is always the watermark.
And there is a watermark, isn't there?
There's part of a watermark, yes. A fragment, torn through thanks to the idiot that mutilated it. But there's enough to see part of a pointing hand design. Does that mean anything to you?
No. Tell me.
Well, to start with, watermarks can't be forged. When you have a fragment like this, you make a beta radiograph of it, which is a kind of photograph or X-ray that makes the design quite clear and easy to see in detail. You then compare it with known watermarks of definite periods and places. Each papermaker had his own, you see. Now, that one fits exactly the pointing hand watermark. The pointing hand is one of the most common watermarks, and it's particularly characteristic of Elizabethan and Jacobean London, say sometime between 1690 and 1610.
Oh, really?
Your piece of paper was made, and it seems likely used, in London sometime between those two dates, which makes its vandalization all the more appalling. Some fool, you see, has torn up a genuine Elizabethan manuscript.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks a lot. Do you like champagne?
That's the fizzy stuff with the carbonic acid bubbles, isn't it?
Yes, the fizzy stuff.
I don't mind. As a matter of fact, I am feeling rather thirsty.
Warwick 1694. What does it mean? And why that date? Nearly 80 years after his death. And why that town? His lineal descendants had all died out by then. Warwick. Wait a minute. Warwick. Something rings a bell somewhere. Schoenbaum. That's it. I remember reading something in Schoenbaum's documentary biography. Something about Warwick. Yes. Here it is. Just a short paragraph. Reports about Shakespeare's manuscripts first began to circulate in the next century. In 1729, John Roberts, who describes himself as a strolling player, lamented that two large chests full of this great man's loose papers and manuscripts in the hands of an ignorant baker of Warwick, who married one of the descendants from Shakespeare, were carelessly scattered and thrown about as garret lumber and litter, to the particular knowledge of the late Sir William Bishop, till they were all consumed in the general fire and destruction of that town. Sir William Bishop did live in the Shakespeare country, and a conflagration inflicted much damage on Warwick in 1694. That's it. That's the link. That distant scrap of reported gossip. Two chests there were, though only one was saved. Honour to him whose heart the furnace braved. There was a great fire in Warwick in 1694. Somebody knew the value of what was in the baker's loft and managed to save one of the two chests. That makes perfectly good sense. And the connection, what once is found shall never more be lost. After miraculously surviving the fire, the rescuer, whoever he was going to make damn sure it would never be threatened again. But how?
Coffee for you.
Thanks.
Well, are you ever going to speak to me again, or is our marriage at an end?
Sorry, I've been busy.
I've noticed.
Sit down a minute, Pen, will you?
I think you're going to run away with Mary Moskowski to some Tolkien-esque dreamland of hobbits and orcs and ents, where you can both speak Elvish and feel really at home.
I want to tell you about the box.
Ah, the mysterious box.
I've discovered Shakespeare's manuscripts.
That sudden mysterious drive to Yorkshire and lunch with... What did you say?
The box. It's full of Shakespeare's manuscripts. Hundreds of them.
What do you mean?
Exactly what I say. I brought a small piece back with me, just the paper with nothing on it. Mary's checked it for me and it's genuine. Look, there it is.
That? Is this a joke or something?
No, what you are looking at is a genuine Shakespearean full stop. I tore it very carefully from a half page of verse.
You mean... You have seen a Shakespearean manuscript and then torn it up.
More than that. That box, which is waiting for me in Gradley Station, is full of them. The sonnets, the plays, first drafts, letters, even a diary. Several volumes of it. I was just waiting for Mary to check it for me. I wasn't even going to tell you about it. Certainly not until I was sure, but I am sure now. And I couldn't resist it. I've just found the final bit of confirmation in Schoenbaum's book.
Brian... You're not doing anything silly, are you?
No, I don't think so.
But I know all about the island forgeries, you know, and so do lots of other people. He found some genuine Elizabethan paper for his.
This isn't just paper. You wait until you see. This is what I've been waiting for, that rotten Elizabethan fixer with a crafty grin. I've got him. Well, I want him at last. The greasy swine, he won't slip away now. This is where he gets pinned down.
Look, Brian, I know it's been difficult for you. All I did was write a not very good funny novel and appear on a few programs, and suddenly everything happened. I think you've been marvellous about it, and believe me, I rate it as little as you do. I really do.
What's this got to do with Shakespeare's manuscript?
Don't do anything silly just to compensate, will you?
Pen, get this straight. Sitting in the freight store at Gradley Station, safely locked up and padlocked with this key, is a large Jacobean box containing a vast number of Shakespearean manuscripts. I haven't made it up, and they aren't forgeries. Tomorrow morning, I am going to hire a van and drive to Yorkshire. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to drive back with the box. And tomorrow evening, if you like, you can read an eyewitness account of the first performance of Hamlet, written by the author.
Gradley.
Yes, I'm feeling fine too.
What?
That sounds uncommonly like my old friend and conversational partner, the station master of Gradley Station.
Aye, it is. Who's that?
Brian Blake. You remember the box?
Oh, aye. I should have guessed it were you.
Why?
I don't know anyone else that daft.
What?
It's double daft to send money in an ordinary envelope, especially that much. Post office is always telling you.
I beg your pardon.
Hey, and count yourself lucky you got away with it this time. I managed everything okay, though it were damned heavy.
I don't know what you mean. I'm talking about the box.
Aye, and I'm talking about the box and all.
I'm driving up in a van to collect it today. I'll be with you in about 5 hours.
Oh, you are you?
That's right.
If I were you, I wouldn't bother.
Why?
Because I sent it on last Monday.
Sent it on? What do you mean?
According to your instructions, Mr. Blake, you ought to know.
What instructions?
Your letter. It were a very good letter. It were all very clear. You even had the money exactly right.
I didn't send any letter.
You did. A neat typewritten letter with your signature. I've still got it in the office.
I didn't send you any letter.
Or whether you sent it or not, I got it.
Oh, my God. So the box isn't there?
No, Mr. Blake. I sent it on last Monday.
Where to?
To King's Cross, just as you instructed. Marked to be collected by Mr. Brian Blake.
Dear God. So, it must still be there.
Well, if you haven't collected it, I suppose it must be. But since you seem to have forgotten the letter and the money you sent me, maybe you picked it up and forgot that too, eh?
Yes. No. I don't think so. Thank you. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Funny people. Funny people they are down there.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, sir. This is King's Cross.
Yes, I know it is. I've been hanging on for nearly 20 minutes for the freight department.
Yes, sir. This is the freight department.
Ah, well, look, you had a very large box delivered last Monday down from Gradley in Yorkshire.
Well, Monday, you say, sir?
That's right, from Gradley in Yorkshire for Mr. Brian Blake.
Well, if you just hang on for a few minutes, sir, I'll look into it for you.
All right, you crafty devil, sitting there on top of the first folio. You don't have to look at me like that. I think you've probably been responsible for more mental anguish and intellectual self-torture than anyone since Vlad the Impaler. My God, you're grinning at me. I do believe you're grinning at me. Stop grinning.
Hello, sir.
Yes, yes, hello.
The box has been safely collected and signed for.
What?
Still there, sir.
Collected? Who by?
By Mr. Brian Blake, of course, sir. We wouldn't release it to anyone else.
Oh, do you know where it is now? I mean, where he took it? Is there any way it can be traced?
I think you must ask Mr. Blake about that, sir. It's his property and nothing further to do with us. Have a good day.
Now, don't tell me, you Jacobean jerk. There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamed of in my philosophy. Well, I know that, don't I?
So, this is all you have for your travel, a piece of genuine Elizabethan blank paper.
With a full stop and a dash, don't forget that.
What a good job you didn't tell anyone except me.
And how many other Shakespearean full stops are there in private collections? Tell me that.
Brian, steadily and without bias, do you expect me to believe all this?
I believe it. I saw it. I held them in my hand.
But why? What's going on? Who sent it? Who collected it? For what purpose?
Oh, yes, I've worked that out all right. What once is found shall never more be lost. The little verse I found just inside the lid.
So?
What could be safer than keeping it continually on the move? From place to place, from hand to hand. It's a very sturdy box. It'll last for centuries.
And who's behind
it? Oh, he is, of course.
Who?
Shakespeare! Who else? Typical bit of underhand Midland subterfuge.
But, Brian, Shakespeare has been dead for 376 years.
But wasn't he supposed to be not of an age, but for all time? Ben Jonson wrote that because he was in on it too. He knew all about it.
About what, for heaven's
about
sake?
About the plan, the secret codicil to Shakespeare's will.
Oh, my God.
Whereby the manuscripts are passed down from generation to generation according to a carefully worked out, mathematically foolproof system. Every new guardian of the box sworn to utter and complete secrecy.
So how did you get involved?
Oh, it was all a mistake. It shouldn't have come to me. That's why it went again so quickly.
You're raving mad, darling.
Or it may have been the guy in Warwick. You see, he realised just keeping them in a loft wasn't safe. So he set up a kind of trust which keeps the box continually on the move. To begin with, it was by coach. Now it's British Rail. Shakespeare's manuscripts are permanently in transit on British Rail. Carried from obscure station to obscure station, collected only to be immediately dispatched. And they've been doing that for nearly 300 years. So, if you really want to make the biggest literary find of the century, just keep your eyes open in guards' vans and freight depots, and if you see a large Jacobean box with burn marks on the outside, whatever you do, don't let it out of your sight.
And what about you? What are you going to do?
Well, if the best thing a literary critic can do these days is not to write a book about Shakespeare...
Yes?
By analogy, if you have a really good story to tell, the best thing to do with that is...
What?
Not tell it to a soul.
In The Jacobean Box by Don Taylor... Stephen Moore played Brian, and Peter Vaughan, the station master. Penelope was played by Michelle Newell, Arkroyd and the freight clerk, Steve Hodson, and Mary and the secretary, Teresa Gallagher. The play was directed by Sue Wilson.